When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the decade of the 2020s, even the great cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul were not spared the woes of contemporary life. And at times of fear and confusion, the job of entertaining the public was the responsibility of MyTalk 107.1, a great metropolitan radio station whose reputation for laughter and giving back to the community had become a symbol of hope for the Twin Cities.
MyTalk 107.1 presents Jason Matheson, Alexis Thompson, Holly Roberts. Jason and Alexis in the morning with Holly Roberts.
Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Jason and Alexis in the morning. Live on MyTalk 107.1 and live streaming on your favorite phone device. I'm Jace with Lex and Holly on this Monday, March 20th, 2023. Coming up in just a few minutes, am I the asshat? Then it's the full candy bar, the full dirt alert, not the little fun size. You get both Twix sticks with this.
Woo!
And then
yeah, left and right.
And then a movie review, a slightly old movie review. I saw the Academy Award nominated The Whale with Brendan Fraser over the weekend, and I have I'll have my review. And then we're so proud of our girl Holly. She is a freelance writer for Playboy, Oh no, I'm sorry. I wrote that. I'm sorry, Holly. I wrote that.
Gigantic boobs.
That's right. Boobies.com. Uh-huh. I apologize. Holly, I got the wrong information. I apologize here. No, Holly is a fantastic writer. She wrote an article for Looper that obviously caught our attention. It's about the great Johnny Carson. We'll end the show with some good conversation about Johnny. But right now, Monday around this here parts, at the top of our third hour means we're going to decide, we're going to pass judgment on people. We're going to decide if they're a butthole. Here we go.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an ass.
Am I wrong?
Am I the asshat?
Here we go. I have two ready to go just in case one of these we decide quickly.
Okay. So
I have one and I'm ready to go here. First one. Am I the asshat for not giving someone my cart at Aldi because they didn't have a quarter?
Oh.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
I love a good headline. So I would recommend to these people that write these on Reddit, give us a good title. Nothing's better than a good title that'll hook you. Here we go. I finished my shopping at Aldi and loaded the car. I can see a family waiting for me to bring my cart back so they can go in. And they're waiting and waiting. There are plenty of carts available, and I'm assuming at this stage it was a case of easier to grab one that's out and give me a quarter rather than unlock one.
Okay.
As I approach, I ask for a quarter, 25 cents, and they look at me like, WTF. I say, I need a quarter if I'm going to hand it over. My mom looks at me in total disgust and says something unpleasant because I won't just hand it over before the family just runs into the store. Not even a, sorry, we don't have any change or some other excuse. They just expected me to hand over my cart. Now, I know it's only a quarter, but still, I typically keep one in the car just for this purpose, especially because I tend to not have change. Mm. So, am I the asshat for not just handing it over and forgetting the 25 cents?
Mm. And your mom is getting down on you.
His mom thinks that he's the butthole.
Oh, my gosh.
But this family was what I call shark. I'm going to Hollywood speak it. They were what I call sharking. Parking lot sharks, they were just kind of waiting. They were just kind of all standing there waiting. Waiting and waiting.
Yeah. The whole point of that, right, is so that you'll bring the cart back. It's not necessarily to make money, but you've used your quarter. So he used a quarter to get, or she to get it. Oh, man. Yeah, it makes you feel uncomfortable when people are standing around like that, I guess.
The standing around part is what bothers me.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy to me.
It's not even about the quarter. Yeah.
It's not about the quarter. It's the waiting around, which just seems kind of like, really? Really? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it is a family, and it's also, it's like.
I know. Then there's that side of it, too. Be nice to your fellow man.
Is it a cop out to say part asshat?
No, we've done that before. Well, yeah. If Holly accepts what she accepts on Word Chain, I'm sure the hell not going to, you know what I mean?
Remember,
we're hot and loose.
I mean, unless the family was like, I don't have a quarter, I'm so sorry. You know, I guess they didn't have any explanation other than.
No, they did not.
Wanted to grab it and.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did not. That's a clarification. The family didn't say, oh, we don't have a quarter. But again, you're going into a grocery store. So
there before, you know, that's the deal. That's kind of part of
but
Aldi's
they didn't
thing.
Even say that. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, it's just a quarter and it is a family. And you want to die on that hill.
But there's that level too. Is this the tiny hill that it's you not, want to die on?
Right. Is it worth it? I mean, unless it's a quarter that you, like I said, they have a quarter that's always there. Man. Yeah, part ass hat is what I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the hovering.
Yeah. You see, that's
that,
what.
That really is just awkward and it's uncomfortable. And I understand feeling petty and being like, no, I'm not going to give you that card. That being said, would have just done it and it would have been irritated and would have just not even made eye contact with them if it was me. I was just like, fine, just take it.
Yep.
Just take it.
You've got mail.
Shauna writes to the three of us on Twitter, I don't see what the issue is. Giving the card is just 25 cents. I've never expected anyone to give me 25 cents, but waiting, though, Shauna agrees with us.
Yeah.
The waiting seems odd and creepy. Yeah, right. See, that's, I
that's the
if there
part
wasn't that part of it, that's where I have the issue. It's just like, really? Come on.
Yeah, because generally what would happen is you know, you'd walk up, maybe you reach the cart corral at the same time, and you're like, yeah, here you go. Just take the cart. No big deal.
Yeah, but it's the hovering.
It's the hovering
and the expectation that because they're hovering, that you're going to feel bad or you're going to give them the cart automatically.
Yep. Let's give Barb the last word on this one. Hi, Barb. Welcome to the show. How do you feel about this?
Oh, my gosh. There is Aldi etiquette.
And I like this. Okay.
This family asking for the cart and not even saying, I'm so sorry, we forgot our quarter. Is there any way we could have yours?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
Because I go to Aldi all the time. And my, you know, the little holder where you put your sunglasses?
Yes.
I don't keep sunglasses in there. That's where my Aldi quarter goes.
Your Aldi? Yes.
Oh, I see.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is, Barb, I didn't like the hovering, and I didn't like that they didn't even say anything. It's just the assumption.
I mean, even if they made it up, like, hey, I am so, yes. We don't have a quarter. I mean, they could have a whole pocket full of quarters, but at least, I don't know, it makes you feel better.
Or just be like, we can't talk. None of us have tongues. You know, we lost a tongue.
And
You know, the last time I was there was a guy who had three dimes.
Okay.
And I really hated that giving up my Aldi quarter. I really did. But he's like, can I give you three dimes for your cart? You're going to make money today. And I said, you know, and because he said that, I can always get another quarter. And I'm like, sure, here you go. You know, and because he did that, that was fine.
Yep.
No big deal. And I still have those three dimes rolling around in my coat pocket.
I love it, Barb.
Not going back in the sunglasses holder.
You're Aldi holder. You're Aldi holder, Barb.
My Aldi holder. That's what I should call it.
That's right.
Label on my label maker that says Aldi holder.
Aldi holder.
Oh, I like that. All right. Barb, he's a label maker.
Barb, thank you so much. Have a great week.
You.
Yeah, Barb. All right. Fiber friend. Love
this goes Barb. Okay, I have another one. You want to do another one?
Sure, let's do it.
Here we go. Am I the butthole for refusing to attend my friend's wedding due to a dress code? My friend who's getting married in a few weeks sent out invitations with a very specific dress code. Black tie with a black suit for men and floor length purple or rose gown for women. I don't own any. I know this is that's why this is a good one. I don't own any floor length gowns. I asked the bride if she would be okay to wear if I would wear a knee length dress with dressy shoes. But she said absolutely not and insisted that I follow the dress code or not attend the wedding at all. A little backstory. She introduced this guy she's been dating to our friend group. She told us they would be getting married in 6 months and they were happy and we were happy for her. She specifically told us about the dress code she had in mind, which we all agreed to. But the issue is she sent us a wedding invite after about a month of this, after about a month of this meeting that she's getting married in 2 weeks. Her boyfriend is traveling abroad for a year for work, so they decided to have the wedding before he left. Thus, it got pushed up. I was in no way prepared for this financially because the dress code our friend group suggested was a bit pricey. I only agreed to it initially because for 6 months I could save up. I decided that I didn't want to spend a lot of money that I don't have on a dress that I would never, ever, ever wear again, so I had to politely decline the invitation. I told my friend that I wished her all the best on her special day, but I couldn't attend due to the dress code. She got angry and accused me of being selfish and unsupportive. She said I should have made an effort to follow her dress code, as it was important to her to have a certain aesthetic for her wedding. And she informed me earlier, so she feels I should have made preparations. I don't understand why not attending is better than attending without the dress code. Now I feel guilty for declining the invitation. Am I the butthole for refusing to attend my friend's wedding due to dress code?
Not the ass hat. The ass hat.
Oh, girl, Holly, I'm with you. I didn't even pause.
Nope.
There was not a comma.
Wow.
There's not a semicolon.
No, not the ass hat. Look, if you're changing it up like that and you're moving it up and your friends can't, you know, afford it. Thank you. Also, let us just talk about the tyranny and the financial burden that is your wedding.
The tyranny.
Well, that sounds like it.
And I'm talking about your wedding, the one where you have two bachelorette destination parties, a formal dress code, and a gift list that's from like Restoration Hardware. And you want me to come in there and go into debt for you? I'm sorry. Goodbye. Yeah. I'm just glad that my friends are in their divorce eras right now.
Are they having parties, though? And making you wear certain things?
No.
Divorce era.
No. Your divorce party dress code soft pants. Come join me.
Lex, you seem conflicted by this.
No, what I'm conflicted about is the idea that you're more concerned about the aesthetic of your wedding and what everyone looks like than versus having your family and friends celebrating your couplehood. I just cannot believe that this is something. What is it? The pictures, the video that you're worried about? You need to be in the moment. I think that the friend, the person who wrote this, not the asshat, you're looking at your bottom line and going, I simply cannot afford this. We need to normalize this, everybody. Okay?
Thank you.
Because you're right. We do not want to go into debt for your wedding because of all the other things. Now, she did say before, like, hey, fair warning, and maybe this is a pattern with your friend. Like, you know that this friend is going to be like this, but still, you cannot expect that from your guests. I mean, the fact that they're even showing up and walking through that door, be grateful.
Yeah, it's more important the person inside the dress than the dress. And your wedding isn't North Korea. Good Lord. It's like a communist government.
Yeah, I mean,
Kim Jong Bride. Oh my goodness!
I wasn't even like that with my bridesmaids. It was just like, here you go, find a dress you feel comfortable in, around this color if you can.
We did that too.
You know, it's like it's just, oh man, that is not the point.
Nope.
And that is so sad.
You'll regret it, believe me, right, Lex?
Absolutely.
You'll regret it.
Ugh! Wow. That was a journey.
To communist North Korea.
That really was.
The tyranny of...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Bridezilla. Am I the asshat? Monday and Wednesdays, right here on Jason and Alexis in the Morning.
Entertainment.
Yeah, we're worried about the bottom line, aren't we? And luckily, First Equity, when it comes to your mortgage, they are too. And that's what's so wonderful about working with a local lender like First Equity, because there's lots of mortgages that are available to you. Conventional, FHA, VA, first-time home buyer. Which one is right for you? And working with an independent mortgage broker, you get that unmatched service, but they also can shop multiple lenders that will give you more options, better rates, and more opportunities for down payment assistance. And working with David and the team, they've been in the market for 23 plus years. They have the reputation and know-how. They take the time to get to know you. They know they'll see you out in the community. They know you'll be back for telling your friends and family, and they want to do you right the first time. And that's what's so great about working with First Equity. If you have any mortgage questions, give them a call, 763-251-8000, or head to mytalk1071.com and type in keyword David.
Cordell.com. This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
This time, we're going to get you caught up with the giant stories in the world of entertainment in the Dirt Alert. Hello again, Holly.
Oh, hello again, Jason and Alexis. Let's talk about Taylor Swift's Eras show. She kicked off her tour over the weekend, and I'm letting Swifties know to get yourself prepared and start training your bladder right now, because this is a 3-hour, 44-song epic concert.
Whoa! Diaper life!
Diaper life!
Holy crap. What is this, Avatar?
Yeah.
The Way of Swifty?
Exactly. She kicked off her tour Friday in Glendale, Arizona, and 44 songs, 192 minutes. And lots of costume changes. You know, for her second night, she did even more costume changes. So I'm just letting everyone start their preparation now.
Yeah, don't drink anything, like, how do you prepare 6 hours before the show.
Yeah, just don't drink anything, right, day of.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yes, plan your hydration accordingly.
Get a bucket. Bring a bucket, everybody. Your purse, it's a twofer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's bravo to Taylor for giving her fans, you know, money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know, is that too much?
Aren't most concerts like that, though, guys?
Hopefully they'll have a video montage where you can go and you can go to the bathroom or do whatever. And most concerts are not this long, Alexis.
Okay, yeah,
most
you're right.
Most of them are about 90 minutes, I would say.
Yeah.
So when was the last time you went to a concert?
Yeah. Well, when was it?
2006?
Mommy life! No, wow. Oh, when was the last concert, Jace?
You were with me. I mean, probably with me to like a My Talk concert.
Like a big stadium concert.
I did see that. I saw the, was
oh,
it?
Oh my God.
It was the great 90s. Oh gosh.
Oh, the mixtape tour.
It was the mixtape tour. Was that the last one I saw though?
With New Kids on the Block?
New Kids on the Block, yep.
That's probably
Salt
the,
and Peppa was there.
That's probably the last social one you've done, Lex.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oof.
Okay.
That was, a year ago?
That was a couple years ago.
I mean, who knows? What is time?
Yeah, what is time? Yeah. What is time?
Yeah, the last time that I went to a concert was the Backstreet Boys. Right. And then we left early because it was loud.
Lex, like, what was my last concert? Barbara Mandrell.
And the Oak Ridge Boys.
Elvira.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Look.
I need to go to another concert.
That was my first concert ever. My parents dragged me to that show on my birthday. And it was like, we're going to go see Barbara Mandrell and the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, really?
No, are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. I was so mad. I was like,
on your birthday too?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, at least you got to sing Elvira.
That's true. Well,
you know?
That's true. That's a bump. I mean, that's a jam.
That is a jam. I mean, that's a gift, man. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kids in the audience have no idea what this is. It's fine.
Now you do.
Sing along, everyone.
Oh my gosh, little Holly.
My heart's on fire.
Did you at least have a seat?
Barbara. Yeah, I think it wasn't standing room only.
Oh man.
You know the thing
you're short and
You know the deceptive thing about the Oak Ridge Boys is you think that the guy with the bass voice would be the one with the long beard. But lo and behold, it's the guy in the business suit.
Yes.
Wow.
My friend Cindy, just to put a bow on the Taylor's.
Oh, yes.
The Taylor Swift thing.
Please.
Cindy texted a really good point. She's like, you know, love her or hate her, talk about stamina.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, Cindy's right. Bravo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Consummate performer. There's a reason why Taylor Swift is arguably the biggest star in music working right now.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, look, we don't really have time for much else. No. What I'll tell you is that nobody went to go and see Shazam! Fury of the Gods over the weekend. A dismal $30 million at the box office. I bet Warner Brothers is like, James Gunn, make DC movies now.
Quickly. Yeah.
Quickly. We're hemorrhaging money. Please.
Oh. Wow, that should have went straight to video.
Yeah.
Straight to the VHS.
I'm surprised they didn't do a tax write-off with that one.
Yeah, no doubt. They did it with Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. More of these stories at mytalk1071.com. Speaking of movies, though, when we come back, I saw the Academy Award nominated The Whale over the weekend. I will give you my review when we return. Hello, it's Chase Live for Skin Rejuvenation Clinic. Every month, Skin Rejuvenation Clinic has new promotions to entice you, to get you excited about getting in there. And this month is no different. First, let me tell you, if you're new to Skin Rejuvenation Clinic, you've never been there before, and you mention me, you're going to get $100 off your first service of $250 or more. How great is that? Now, specific specials, Plasma Sculpt is brand new. It's a new and innovative treatment that combines Sculptra aesthetic, and it is a skin plumping treatment, rejuvenates and volumizes the skin for a smoother, more youthful looking skin. And right now in the month of March, you're going to get $100 off. $100 off a vial. That's right, per vial of Plasma Sculpt. To see more, to see before and after photos and get more information, go to skinrejuvenationclinic.net. Jason and Alexis in the morning. On My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything dances with wolves. I'm Chase with Lex and Holly.
Yeah, we're dancing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Perhaps like a lot of you, it was really cold over the weekend. Maybe you stayed in. Maybe you watched some movies, some television. I sure did. Lex stayed in and binged the rest of The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I never got out of my Holly Roberts soft pants. I didn't even wash my hair. I barely brushed my teeth.
Brushed your hair.
So proud of you, Jason. Yeah. Do you normally wash your hair every day?
Most days, yeah.
Oh, I guess because you have little hairs.
I have little hair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I rolled myself into the kitchen and then rolled right back like a little dung beetle. I just rolled right back to the couch. And we decided to knock some things off our list of things that we've been wanting to watch but haven't had the time. And one of them is the Academy Award nominated The Whale with Brendan Fraser. Brendan, if you remember, took home the Oscar for Best Actor for this role. And this is based on a play, if you do not know. And the first observation is, I heard Howard Stern mention this too. He and his wife, Beth, had the same observation that I did. Boy, oh boy. You can completely tell that this movie is based on a play. And this isn't a perfect analogy, but I think it's because I directed it in college. It was a project of mine. The same way I can tell the dialogue of Steel Magnolias is very much from a play. The same is true for The Whale. And that's not a plus or a minus. It's just it was just a quick observation that I had.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is from director Darren. I can never pronounce his last name.
Aronofsky.
Thank you. I don't know. My tongue does not want to form that word. He's an English teacher. He's a reclusive. He is morbidly obese. And the movie centers around, well, basically his home, another kind of sign that this is a play. You never really leave his home. Mm. And which in itself gives you, and I think this was on purpose, gives you the feeling of isolation and kind of claustrophobia that I'm sure the character feels in his life. He's trapped in his body. I'm sure the imagery is not accidental and the setting. Anyway, he plays an English teacher, and he is trying to reconnect with his daughter, who is played. Oh, hold on a minute. There's two young actors of note that I wanted to mention, and I had the cast here. And then she is Sadie. From Stranger Things. Her name is Sadie Sink.
Oh, yes, yes.
From Stranger Things. And then the other young... Okay, this is a very small cast. Then the caretaker of Brendan Fraser's Charlie. Her name is Liz. The character's name is Liz. And then there's a young man, a missionary, who enters the movie early on. And... eagle-eyed pop culture fans will recognize this 20-something. He was the kid brother in Jurassic World.
Mm.
The very first Jurassic World with Chris Pratt and Opie Cunningham's daughter. Yes, he's the little brother, not Nick Robinson, not the older brother. He's the little kid. Well, now he's all grown up, and he plays a missionary that visits Charlie's house right at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
So it's really about this. It's a journey of this father desperately, desperately trying to reconnect with his daughter before it's too late, because he is facing his own mortality at the hands of his obesity. He is not naive. He is not. He knows what his fate is, even though his caretaker, Liz, is desperately trying to get him to a hospital. He refuses. So he's staring down the hallway of mortality, and you can feel that he it's a race against time to try to reconnect, and she is not having it, this daughter, and you'll find out why, but this daughter makes it very difficult for a reconnection. Overall, and this is the case sometimes, I liked the performance more than the movie as a whole.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of movies like that. This is one of them for me. This is over 2 hours. It was a little, because it is a play, there were moments where I was a little bored, to be very honest with you. And it lost me. I found myself drifting to the phone. However, wow, does it, following in a fishing analogy all the way through, it does rehook you. You feel like a fish that got away, and then you come back. You get caught again, because the ending, the last half hour, is immensely powerful. It does draw you back in. Colin, who was more bored and enjoyed the movie less than I did, I saw Colin he was working on a project. He put his phone down for the last half hour, and the ending is pretty powerful. Brendan Fraser... it is very clear why he won. Well, let me say this too, because I know there's criticism that Darren and the studio didn't just hire an actor who is obese.
Yeah.
We could have a nice debate about that. But I got to tell you, I know why Brendan got this role, no matter his size.
Yeah.
He got the role because he deserved it. And again, we can have a debate of, you know, I think more actors of different sizes should be represented. But it's very clear to me why they chose Brendan, because, my gosh, he breaks your heart. He just breaks your heart.
He has those, like, wet, doughy eyes.
Oh,
and you
God.
Just look at him and you're just like, oh, man. Even when we were watching the Oscars, you just started tearing up already when they were just talking about a comeback. It's just, oh, so the, I can imagine as a character like that, it's very heart-rending.
Yeah, it is. It's just, he gets you. And it is the close-ups. And it's the, you know, and he gets angry at a moment. I won't tell you why. There's a catalyst for, he gets very angry and you feel it for this character. You feel his frustration. And then the pain, you know, it's not, he brilliantly shows you through his physicality, the pain, the physical and the mental pain that he goes through when he, you know, there's a moment where he falls and you feel not only the pain, you feel his embarrassment, you feel anguish. And that's all because of Brendan. You know, it has nothing to do with the prosthetics or anything. It is in his face. It is his acting that just, you feel every part of Charlie's sadness.
Did you weep watching this or afterward?
Yeah, I did cry a little bit. You know, I have a fractured relationship with my father, so who, you know, passed many years ago, but 20 years ago, actually, next month. But I had a fractured relationship with my father, so these types of movies, I'm probably more affected by them because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I teared up. And I also know, not to this level, obviously, but, you know, all three of us, you know, I know what it's like to struggle with weight. So they're, you know, not to this degree.
Yeah.
But, you know, this touched me on a couple different points. So.
Ooh, no. So mentally prepare for this is what you're saying?
Oh, my
or
goodness.
Is it
yeah,
just, you know?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We literally, I wanted to, I think we watched Wreck-It Ralph after this or something. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm actually being serious.
Yeah.
It was real, you wanted to watch something lighter. It's taxing.
Sure.
It's taxing is the right word. It takes a lot out of you. And it's dark, both literally, it's a dark film. So if you're in a bright room, but it is worth seeing. As much as I said Brendan's performance is better than the movie as a whole, it is worth you seeing. It's not a waste. It's not a bad film. It's just one that you'll watch once and never watch it again, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. As is the way with many Darren Aronofsky movies. He's the guy who made Requiem for a Dream. Not lighthearted viewing.
Nope. It's worth it for Brendan. That's how my final sentence to sum up my review. It is worth it to see Brendan Fraser's performance. I would spend that $6 again. Absolutely. Just to watch that performance. So there we go. The Whale.
All right.
I rented it for $6 on Apple. I think it's on different formats too, available to rent on digital. Worth your time, but just go in. If you're in a bad mood already, go ahead and watch it because, you know, you're already there.
You might as well lean in.
Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, Everything Johnny.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
That's right, Johnny.
Mm.
That's right, Johnny Carson.
We come to you from beautiful Burbank.
That's right, beautiful Burbank, California.
Yeah.
We're very proud of Holly for a myriad of reasons. She's a freelance writer for various outlets, including Looper. And you wrote an article this weekend that obviously caught our attention. Tell us about it.
Hi-yo! It is...
Hi-yo!
Johnny Carson fun facts.
Oh.
Ooh. God. What's the funnest fact you learned, Holly?
The funnest fact? Well, there are many fun facts, Alexis. But did you know? Did you know that Johnny Carson... had his own line of apparel.
What?
Yes, I did!
The Johnny Carson Collection.
What did that look like?
Oh, thank you, Alexis, for asking. But Johnny Carson, at the height of his fame, it started actually the late 1960s, but he teamed up with a clothing manufacturer to launch Johnny Carson Apparel. Just good-looking, comfortable, and uncomplicated, yet not too expensive clothes. Here's a commercial from 1973 where Johnny is talking about his clothing.
Oh. All the birds.
Over the years, I've lived in a great number of places. And I've learned one thing. Where you live isn't nearly as important as how you live. That's why my line of clothes is designed to fit the man instead of the place. This simply means nothing too far out, nor too conservative for that matter. Just good-looking, comfortable, uncomplicated, yet not too expensive clothes.
Yeah, there he is.
He just kind of lays out everything.
It is very literal, and you see a montage of pictures of Johnny Carson laying by a mid-century modern pool in his not-too-complicated clothes. Alexis, it was basically like Garanimals for middle-aged men.
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking polyester.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would wear it right now. Let me tell you. Yeah.
Gosh, I wonder if anybody has some of that. I wonder what the label looked like. And just, I forget also just how slow he talked.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's like just good looking.
That's commercials, though, too, Lex. There
well,
was
just in
no
general.
Rush.
Yeah.
What the hell? You weren't going to tune away. There was nothing to watch.
That's true. It's just going to read slow.
Yeah. You're going to look at his outfits. Where else can you get your sport jacket and plaid pants?
I guess, right.
Yes.
Did he have some accessories, too?
Sure,
you know, like some
sure
special
did.
Cufflinks or something? Or
He had groovy ties.
Okay.
Both of the wide and skinny variety.
Cut.
Hats with feathers and matching belts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think my favorite, and I know you know this in your research, I think one of my favorite pieces of knowledge about him, and I think this is why I love, because I love jokingly fighting with the bosses. I love his ongoing battles, his never-ending battles with NBC. I get such pleasure from that. And my favorite one is, you know, people don't realize this, but The Tonight Show used to be 90 minutes. And there's a fun fact right there.
Wow.
And Johnny wanted it to go down to 60 minutes and wanted to not work. At one point, it was just Fridays and then Friday, Mondays. And NBC publicly admonished him, publicly fought with him. And you don't do that. You didn't do that with Johnny, especially back in those days. Johnny was the biggest star on television.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing on television. And he ended up getting everything he wanted.
Yeah.
He got the rights to The Tonight Show. He owned it. He got his schedule down to an hour. Everything that he wanted from NBC, he got.
Yeah. Well, NBC, wow. Look, Johnny Carson at one point was responsible for almost 20% of NBC's profits just from his show alone.
Yes.
And he didn't want to do it anymore. So he played hardball. But some of the things that Johnny Carson got ultimately in 1980, not only did his show go down to 60 minutes, he was making $25 million a year in 1980 money.
Whoa.
15 weeks off a year. And not only did he own The Tonight Show, but he owned the show after The Tonight Show, which eventually became Late Night with David Letterman.
Yep.
Wow.
He had a lot of money. He had a lot of money.
Well, that's why his divorce cost so much, right?
Uh-huh. Allegedly, supposedly upwards of $20 million from his third wife, Joanna. Not to be confused with his second wife, Joanne.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. How many times was he married?
He was married four times.
Four times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit of the about that era from the documentary, The King of Late Night.
It doesn't mean a cocksureness. It means a confidence in your own ability. that I know what I do, I do it well, and when I walk in front of an audience, I know that I am good. If you don't have that attitude, you shouldn't be out there.
By the late 1970s, NBC languished in the ratings. The Tonight Show was a rare bright spot, bringing in nearly 20% of the network's total income. But newly installed President Fred Silverman chastised Johnny Carson publicly.
And he targeted Johnny, which had never been done before. And basically, he felt like Johnny, although still, you know, doing well and bringing in a lot of money, was taking off so much time. He didn't work on Mondays. He took so many weeks off that he tried to pressure Johnny, which throughout Johnny's history was a major mistake. You just didn't take this guy on. He had a steel backbone.
There was one scene in Jaws where a network executive went swimming and the shark circled around him and then left him alone. Professional courtesy.
Yeah. And if you want to watch Johnny Carson over on Pluto TV, it's a free service, free app. They've got a whole Johnny Carson TV network, 24/7 of Johnny Carson, so you can see how Johnny Carson, just the impeccable timing, the comedic genius that was Johnny Carson. You can watch it, you know, right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Wow. Right now.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Cool. We'll be right back, folks. Stay where you are.
Well, we won't be. We'll That's be tomorrow. Back tomorrow, yeah, but tomorrow. Yeah. Go out there and be yourself. Read that article on Looper and search for Holly Social, Holly D. Roberts. Go out there and be yourself, right, Lex?
That's right, you be you. Have a fantastic day, everyone. We love you so much. And we'll talk tomorrow. Don and Steve Experience up next. Bye for now.